So we're holding on some ches on the base by the Mishnah. Okay, the previous Mishnah we talked about a nida who checked or didn't check during the various days of her nidus, where we said again a nida doesn't need shiva nekiyim, she just needs that sometime before the end of the seventh day the bleeding has stopped. So we talked about if she checked in the morning of that seventh day and found she was tahor, checked in the morning of that seventh day, found that she was tamei, either way didn't do a hefsekara, found blood several days later. And we had also the scenario in the Gemara where she found that she was tamei, and then several days later again discovered that she was tamei. Okay, so that was all as far as nida. Now let's talk about how long
we conclude.
So we said that there's a couple of different cases. When we said we had a four-way machloikus. How early can she be checking and count as a valid checking? Is it only on the only from any time from the beginning of the seventh day with the Tanakama, only close to Bein HaShemoshes on the seventh day, Rabbi Yehuda? Is it from the second day, the Chachamim in the Mishnah, or is it even on the first day, Rebbe in the Gemara?
And we said that
we have four different things. Zaloha is like the Chachamim, so therefore any time from the second day onwards, you can check.
It's ironical that the Torah makes a nida less machmir than a ziva.
Well, the idea behind it is that a nida is a natural, normal thing that she has a monthly cycle, as opposed to a ziva is an unnatural thing. Therefore, you need different. Therefore, you need more.
Right.
Because the fact is, by definition, a ziva is during the 11 days when she's not expected to be bleeding. We're actually going to talk about that point when we get to the very last amud of our Gemara and the very last amud of Shas. We'll talk about Be'ez Hashem, something that Rebbe talks about this in a sicha, about the distinction between nida and zava and the distinction between them and halacha. But wait, we'll get to that. Anyway, so before we talk about nida, now let's finish on what the Shabbos says. So the Mishnah says, Hazava hazava shabarku asman v'yev rishen. Now you have a male or female zav checked on the first day of their seven clean days, where again, unlike a nida, they need clean days. So they checked on the first day, umatsu tahor, and they found that they were tahor, uvayemashvi umatsu tahor. Then they checked on the seventh day, also found they were tahor, ushau yomim shabentayim lo bodku. Meanwhile, though, they hadn't checked on the days in between. No, it's different, because in the case of a nida, you don't need seven clean days. So it's strictly a question of she checked, let's say, on the seventh day or any time before the seventh day, found that she was tahor, found a few days later that she was tahor, fine, but she doesn't need clean days anyway. Here, there's a matter of, on the other hand, they do need seven clean days. In the case of Anita, she doesn't need seven clean days, but here she does. So Rabbi Eliezer, Oy Maharein B'chazkas Tara, Rabbi Eliezer says that they still have a Chazkas Tara. In other words, as we're going to see in the Gemara, according to Rabbi Eliezer, we don't care that they didn't actually count and they didn't actually do B'dikas each of the days. The fact that we can allow the Chazaka means that all 7 days count. Rabbi Yeshua says all they have is the first and the seventh day, meaning, in other words, they only have 2 days so far, and you still need another 5 days that you actually need to do B'dikas. Rabbi Akiva says that she only have the seventh day, because as we're going to see in the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva holds that you have to have all 7 days consecutive. You can't have, like Rabbi Yeshua, that you have a first day and then 5 days later a seventh day. That doesn't work. All 7 days have to be consecutive. Therefore, since we can't count the days in between, because she didn't actually count and she didn't actually do the B'dikah then, therefore... Well, actually, Rashi says a different reason. Rashi says the reason is just because Rav Akiva is concerned that maybe in between, maybe she had a re'iyah, or she or he had a re'iyah, and then it cancels the 7 days. So you can't say, so Rabbi Eliezer is saying you have a chesed tara. So therefore, once she checked the first day, and then she checked the seventh day, and both of them were tahor, we can assume the 5 days between were tahor as well. Rabbi Akiva says, rather, not so fast. Who says? Maybe she did have a flow during those 5 days. Maybe he had a flow of ziva during those 5 days. And therefore, the result is the last day when they did a bidikta, fine, that counts as the first of their 7 days. They're still going to need another.
She saw something during the 7 days.
Obviously, but the point is, Rabbi Yehuda is saying we don't have to worry about that possibility. And Rabbi Akiva is saying that we do have to worry about that possibility. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva says we only have the 7 days.
1 second. If she didn't see anything during all these days...
But did she check? We don't know whether she checked.
What does Rabbi Akiva say? She has to check?
She has to check every single day, Rabbi Akiva.
Right. And she doesn't see anything...
If she doesn't see anything, then she throws.
And if she sees something, she's
then it cancels. Then it cancels 7 days.
So what is Rabbi Akiva saying?
So Rabbi Akiva is saying that because she didn't check during those 5 days in between, then those don't count. Nothing counts until the seventh day. So in other words, let's say that let's say, for example, she did her 7 clean days are supposed to run, let's say, from Sunday to Shabbos. She did a bedikka, let's say, on the first day, on Sunday. She didn't do bedikka any of the other 5 days. Then on Shabbos, she realized, you know, I have to do a bedikka, and she does, and she finds it to her. Rabbi Akiva says, nevertheless, there's still the possibility she may have bled on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or what have you. Therefore, the first of her clean days is Shabbos, in effect. Therefore, she needs 6 ones after that. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Only Friday night of the following week is she going to be able to go to the mikveh. That's the point. As opposed to Rabbi Eliezer is saying that she has a chesed tahara once she found it was tahar on Sunday and she found it was tahar on Shabbos, then Rabbi Eliezer says we're good.
I understand Rabbi Eliezer. Okay. Rabbi Akiva
right.
Presumes that in any event...
We don't presume nothing. We just don't know. We don't know whether she bled or not. And given that you have to have 7 days in a row without bleeding, then we don't know whether there was. Therefore, you have to...
Why do we say if we don't know? Automatically not tahara.
Because we don't know whether those were proper days, because there may have been bleeding and they're not. So therefore, we can't allow her to just go to the mikvah on Motzei Shabbos on the supposition that all those days she was tahara, because what if she wasn't? Therefore, we have to start the first day is Shabbos, the second day is Sunday, etc., and go from there. So the Gemara starts off. Tanya, Amalei Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yeshua, L'dvarecha, according to your logic that you're saying that she has the first and the seventh day. In other words, again, in our scenario, we would say that Sunday counts, Shabbos counts, the days in between don't count, she needs 5 more days after Shabbos. How does that work? According to your logic, he says to Rabbi Yeshua, it comes out that she or he are counting the 7 days intermittently. You can't. The Torah says that after the 7 clean days she's tahor, meaning achar l'kula, and it's only works if there is an achar, which is after all of them, meaning shalotei truma masekas benayim, there can't be any truma in the middle. So how can you say that she? So I who say that we give her the chazaka, fine. I'm saying, in other words, that we assume there was nothing in between. So the 7 days are consecutive. Rabbi Akiva is also saying, fine, that eventually she has to have 7 consecutive days. According to you, Rabbi Yeshua, you have 1 day, and then a few days later, you have another day, then how does that work? Don't they have to be consecutive? Amalei Rabbi Yeshua, but after, so Rabbi Yeshua answers him, what about you, Rabbi Eliezer? Don't you agree about the case of a Zav who during his 7 clean days had an emission of Keri? Or of a Nazir Shehilach Schachas Uprais? Or you have a case of a Nazir, where a Nazir is a person is a Nazir for a minimum of 30 days. What now we know that if he becomes Tomei during the 30 days, then he loses his count and he has to start all over, similar to a Zav and a Zava. But suppose that during those 30 days he went under Schachos and Prais. Schachos are overhanging branches. Prais are stones that stick out of a wall, where you have a suffix whether there was tumma there. You have a suffix whether those are considered an oil.
Branches, everything's mechubar.
The tree itself is not mechabal tumma, but it can be an oil, right? If you have a dead body buried, if you have a kazayis minamet under one of the branches of the tree, and he walks under that tree, or he walks under that branch, he's going to become tumma. Or he walks under any of the branches for that matter.
If you're saying it's mechubar, how can it become tumma?
What does one have to do with the other? The tree doesn't become tumma, but it's transmitting tumma from one place to another. It's an oil.
The branches are attached to the tree.
Okay. What happens when a person walks into a house that has a mess inside? He becomes tummy. The house is attached to the ground, but what's the difference? The house doesn't become tummy, but it transmits tumma to the person in the kelim, isn't it? I'm not even understanding.
The branches don't become tummy.
We're not talking about the branches becoming tummy. We're talking about them transmitting tumma to him. So suppose then a nazir walks under a branch of a tree or a stone sticking out of a wall.
Without even touching them.
That's tumas oil. By definition, tumas oil doesn't require touching. So we say that if he walks under schachos and prais, which are a suffix oil, we say that he misses that 1 day. He has to make up 1 extra day. We don't say that he cancels his whole nazirus. Shemona b'sirugin. So there, no. Well, no, what you say is, in other words, that there he's counting intermittently. You're saying that his 30 days are not consecutive. By Torah, omer by yomim merushanim yiflu. Yet the Torah says by nazir, if he becomes tummy, then the original days fall away. So Rabbi Yeshua says to Rabbi Yehuda, see, there is a way that a person can be counting 7 or 30 days intermittently. We mentioned 2 cases, one by a Zav Sharah Keri and the other one by a Nazir. Once we see by them, then you see that just because the Torah says it has to be consecutive doesn't mean it has to be completely consecutive. You can have days in between that are missed. Rabbi Eliezer, what does Rabbi Eliezer answer to that? He says, Bishleima Hotham. I can understand, but I cannot.
Let me ask you, if it applies to Zav, then it applies to Zav automatically.
We would assume, unless we know otherwise, yes. So, Rabbi Eliezer, what does Rabbi Eliezer answer to that? He says, Bishleima Hotham, Latoma Ba'am Rachmana. I can understand when it comes to the Zav, the reason why, if he has Shifat Zera one day, why he only loses the one day, is because the Torah says, Latoma Ba, to become Tome in it. Since it says Latoma Ba, to become Tome in it, meaning that it only has the Tuma of regular Shifat Zera, a person becomes Tome Shifat Zera, Tome Tumas Keri, they're only Tome for the one day. Therefore, the same thing. Torah is teaching us that he only becomes Tome for the one day. He only loses one day. The words Latoma Ba teach us that the Zav is only losing one day of his count as a result of the Keri.
That's the pasuk.
Yeah. So when it comes to a zav, shirah, keri, then fine. You have a statement in a pasuk that he only loses the one day. As far as the nazir of imishum mechlufi zav v'al keri, you're going to say maybe we should make a gzera that we shouldn't allow it, that we shouldn't allow it because then he may mistakenly think that he can have non-consecutive days when he became completely tameh, like when he became a zav. No problem. Zav v'al keri lo mitzvah. People are not going to confuse, hello, the case of a person becoming tameh from ziva, from the case of a person becoming tameh with shechas zera. People are going to realize there's that distinction. Therefore, we have no reason to make a gzera about that and make him lose his whole count. So therefore, says Rabbi Eliezer, so therefore, you, Rabbi Yeshua, are trying to bring a proof from that. That's not really a proof. Xeris HaKosov over there, that he only loses one day, and because a Zav and a Baal Keri are not easily confused, therefore the Chachamim didn't see fit to make a Xeris to the contrary. And Nazir Shehila Chagav is Chachos Oproiz Nami. What about when it comes to the case of the Nazir who walked under Chachos Oproiz, under a branch of a tree or under a stone projecting from a wall, where we're talking about basically the case is that there's Tuma in the area, we don't know whether it's under that particular branch or under that particular stone. So maybe he became Tomei Oyol, maybe not. So then, Midar Reis, the Oyol Ma, actually here the Gemara is taking it in a different way, that it's not so much a suffix, which branch or which stone it was under, it's rather those are not really considered an oihol because they're not permanent. Midaraisa oil malyabinen. Midaraisa to be tome tumas oil, you would need a full-fledged oihol. Meaning, in other words, like a house or a tent or something like that, something that's there on an ongoing basis. Not a tree with branches where the branches flap around. Rabbanan who degozer, the Rabbanan are the one who made the gzera that he loses the one day. So it's not midaraisa that he loses one day at all. Rabbanan midaraisa loy mechlef. And again, just because you have he loses one day when it comes because of a din de Rabbanan, you're not going to confuse it with a din deraisa where he became tamei vadei and say that we were going to think that he can resume his nazirus from where he left off when he became tamei. So therefore, says Rabbi Eliezer, so in those cases, there's no reason to think. So therefore, in those cases, those are special cases where we say that the days can be non-consecutive. Again, in the case of the Zav, it is midaraisa, but there is a cost of that it's only one day. And when it comes to the Nazir, the whole thing is only dirabon. Avol hacha, but over here, says Rabbi Eliezer to Rabbi Yeshua, if the whole concern, if you, Rabbi Yeshua, are concerned that there may have been a flow during one of those 5 days, and she didn't realize it, or he didn't realize it, then it can very easily be confused with vadai. So therefore, how can you say that she has only the first and the seventh day? In other words, you, Rabbi Yeshua, are saying, that's fine, only the days that she counted, only the days that she actually counted and did bedikas count towards the 7 days, but the fact of the matter is, you also have to have the chash that she had a flow in between. Me, I'm not concerned about that, because she checked at the beginning and it was tar, checked on the first day, checked on the last day and it was tar, so she has a chazaka that it was tar the whole time in between. But you who don't say that, so then if it's a matter of that you have to be concerned about a flow misafik, also l'ichlofi v'vadeh, you may confuse it with a case of vadeh. So how can you do that? You would have to say, of necessity, either you're not worried about a flow during that time, either you're not worried about that there may have been a flow during that time, and you give her a chazaka tar like you do, or like I do, or you're going to say that you don't even count the days in between because there may taka have been a flow and it was soyser on a daraisa level and then only start counting, cancels, and starts over. And therefore, you should go like Rabbi Akiva, who says that only the last day, only the seventh day, counts as the first day, actually. Okay, so that's Rabbi Eliezer argues back to Rabbi Yeshua. Okay.
No answer from Rabbi
Yeshua on that. Okay. Tony, we learn in a braisa, Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shimon Amri, that Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shimon of the next generation say like this. Nirin Divrei Rabbi Eliezer Medivrei Rabbi Yeshua. It seems more logical to accept Rabbi Eliezer's view over Rabbi Yeshua's view. Because, yes, if Rabbi Yeshua is concerned that there may have been a Re'iyah in between, then why is he saying the first day counts? If there's no question, everybody does agree that if the Nida had a, not the Nida, the Zava, had a flow during one of her seven clean days of her blood, or that the Zav had a flow of Ziva during one of his seven clean days, there's no question that it cancels it and they have to start all over again. Both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua agree to that. Once we say that, if we're going to say that we're concerned about that there may have been a flow on the days in between when they didn't do a Bedikah, then why are you granting her the first day? Maybe there was a flow after the first day, and therefore it shouldn't count. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer, so it seems more logical to accept Rabbi Eliezer over that, who says that we're not concerned about that. And Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon say, actually, Rabbi Akiva's view seems to be the more logical, more than all of them, because he says that every day that you're going to count towards the seven clean days has to have been counted and has to have had a bedikah done on it. So he's being consistent. He's saying, therefore, that even the first day doesn't count because you had 5 days after it when there wasn't what's called furin of bedukin, there was no counting and there was no bedikah. So therefore, he says, all those first 6 days we ignore and we can only count from the seventh day. So Rabbi Akiva's position is the most logical. Aval halacha k'Rabbi Eliezer. However, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon continue, the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer. Now, we learn, well, that's what they're saying. Nevertheless, even though Rabbi Akiva's opinion seems more logical than Rabbi Eliezer, nevertheless, the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer. Now, we learned in the first parak, and Tosfos mentions it over here, a rule that when you have a Mishnah or a Braisa that says the halacha is like so-and-so, not necessarily is the halacha in fact like them. So over here, we have a braisa where Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon are saying that. What does that mean as far as the bottom line halacha? Tosfos mentions in the first paragraph, we learned that we had Amuroim saying that there were four places where the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer, and this is one of them. So the bottom line is, yes, the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer over here, so therefore she only checked on the first day and only on the seventh day. Then we say that nevertheless the days in between count, and she's able to go to the mikveh that on the night after the seventh day.
Rabbi Akiva would say
no good, but the halacha is not like it.
Because she may have bled,
and then he says you need sfurin or dukin. You need every day in order for it to count. It has to be counted and has to have a bedikah.
And when you don't have the bedikah,
according to him, then it doesn't count. Then it doesn't count, according to him. But the halacha is not like him. The halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, that does count. Lachachila, of course, it says she's supposed to do the bedikah twice a day, but once in the morning and once in the evening, each of the shiv and the kiyam. But yeah, but as we're saying, then, okay. So now we have a related question. So far we're talking about if she did the checking on the first day and on the seventh day, but not the days in between. But now Iboilu has Zava Zava Shabotku Asman Yom Rishon V'Yom Shmini. What if they checked on the first day and then on the eighth day? So they didn't even check on the seventh day. They didn't check on the seventh. Because that's the question. Let's say, so the days, the seven clean days have passed. You don't have Sofa and Batar.
Yeah,
1 second. The point is, up until now, we were talking about a case where you have what's called Chilosim, the Sofa and Batar. The first of the days was found to be Tahor. The last of the 7 days was also found to be Tahor. Now we're talking about a case where the beginning was found to be Tahor, but there was no Bedikah done on the seventh day. So then they went to the Mikvah after the seventh day. Now on the eighth day, she checked and found it Tahor. Through the days in between, they didn't check, so there was no bedikah on the seventh day. So the question is, what would Rabbi Eliezer say to that? Obviously, according to Rabbi Yeshua, you would definitely say that the first 7 days don't count, because again, Rabbi Yeshua is going to allow it listed rugin, but that's at least because the first and the seventh day are able to have been part of one count. Here you have the first and the eighth day can't even belong to one count.
That's about the week.
Because the whole week apart, because you only need 7 clean days. And according to Rabbi Akiva, all the more so, you only are going to have 8 days. Right. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, once we say that we have a chazaka that all 7 days are tahor because she checked on the first day, would the same thing apply if she didn't check at all at the end of the seventh day? The question is, chilosan v'sofan v'inan, do you need that there was a bedikah on the beginning and the end of the 7 day period? V'hacha chilosan ikka sofan leka. In this case, you only have the beginning, you don't have the end. Because she didn't do a bedikah on the seventh. Or maybe it works even if you only had a bedikah at the beginning but not the end. So So what's the din? Omer Rav Hihi. The Rav says it's exactly the same thing. Whatever Rabbi Eliezer says about the case of the first and the seventh, which is that she's Tahar, he would also say about the first and the eighth. In other words, Rabbi Eliezer would hold. Chilosan af b'shein sofon. Says Rav, Rabbi Eliezer would hold, even if there was only a bedikah done at the beginning, even though there was no bedikah done at the end. What does it mean? It doesn't contradict nothing.
He says the first and the seventh.
But also, he would say the same thing with the first and the eighth. What do you mean? It doesn't contradict nothing. The Mishnah talked about one case. The Gemara is talking about a different case. And Rav is saying... Because Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva have different opinions about those. But even though we only mention in the Mishnah the first and the second, Rav would say that Rabbi Yehuda holds the same thing, the first and the eighth. So that even if the Bidika was done only on the first, that's good enough.
Obviously.
Where Rabbi Chanina almost chilos in the second vein, and Rabbi Chanina says no, you need both the beginning and the end, and the problem is hachat chilos and ikas seif and leka. Here you only have one at the beginning, not at the end. Therefore, Rabbi Chanina says no good. Even Rabbi Eliezer would say therefore that you have to start all over again with the eighth day and count the seven clean days beginning from.
So we're arguing in the name of.
They're arguing within Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. We just said that Halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer, so now we have to figure out
two versions
of what Rabbi Eliezer is. Rabbi Eliezer saying only first and seventh, but not first and eighth, which would be Rabbi Chanina. Well, what do you say? The same thing applies to first and eighth. Okay. So the Gemara says, we have a contradiction.
We're trying to determine
what Rabbi Eliezer would say, and therefore what the Halacha is in that case. Okay. So the Gemara says, I have a contradiction against the Rav. A Braita says, Veshavin. The Tanoim, and we have to figure out which Tanoim are we talking about, and that's the Tosfos HaRosh, by the way, it says exactly what I just said, that the reason why the Mishnah mentions, the case of the first and the seventh is even then Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Akiva are machmir and say that only the first and seventh count or only the seventh count. But according to Rav, Rabbi Yehuda would in fact hold the same as true, whether it's one and seven or one and eight. So the Gemara says, mate, you have a contradiction. According to Rav's version of Rabbi Eliezer. Okay. So the Gemara says, I have a contradiction against Rav. A Braita says, v'shovin they, the Tanoim, and we have to figure out which Tanoim we're talking about, because remember, we have a three-way machlokas. They agree, v'zov v'zov v'shabodku atzman yom rishin v'yom shemini. If they check themselves on the first day, and then the next time they checked was on the eighth, meaning after they went to the mitzvah, umotu tohar, and they found that it was Tahar, no good, She'ein lahem ala yom shmini bovad. The first 7 days don't count. They have to start their seven clean days beginning from the eighth day. So my shavin, non-shavin, when we say they agree, who's the they? Lav, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua. Shouldn't we assume that's Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, that even though they argue and they say that at least Rabbi Eliezer would say all 7 days count in the case of our Mishnah, and Rabbi Yeshua says two out of the 7 days, but in this case they would both agree that only 1 day counts. If we understand it that way, it means Rabbi Eliezer would say in the case of the first of the eight, of the first and the eighth, the first seven don't count. That's like Rabbi Chanina, not like Rav. The answer is like Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva. Because Rav says he would accept it. So no, the answer is that Shobin in the Braisa could mean Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva. Maybe it means Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva would say that she only has the eighth day for reasons that we just said. But Rabbi Yehuda would in fact say that counts. Once you have Chilos and the Tara, then the Chazaka continues throughout the 7 days. Okay. Fine. So the Gemara leaves.
Just say that they mean Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva is not Chidush.
We have to clarify that even Rabbi Yeshua, who says in the case of 1 and 7 that both 1 and 7 count, the 5 days in between don't count, but 1 and 7 do, he would say, though, that if it was 1 and 8, then they don't count. We need to be informed of that, otherwise we would have misunderstood. Rabbi Akiva is being machmir no matter what. We don't need to say shoven about him. Shoven means that Rabbi Yeshua.
Yeah.
So it means that Rabbi Yeshua agrees with it.
So why don't we say just Rabbi Yeshua said that?
Because Shavin means they agree. Both Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva agree that. That's what Shavin means. It means they both agree. Okay. Now, the Gemara leaves it at that. Who is the halacha like between Rav and Rabbi Chanina? The Rambam paskins like Rav. The Smag, on the other hand, also that Rabbi Eliezer would say the same thing, 1 and 7 or 1 and 8, right? The Smag, and also Tosfos earlier in the Masechta, hold that because the Gemara hasn't said who the halacha is like, therefore it should be like Rabbi Chanina. In Shulchan Aruch, it brings both opinions.
Between Rabbi Akiva and
forget Rabbi Akiva. We said already the halacha is like, we said already the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. So we won't talk, nothing to talk about that.
But
now
no,
we're talking
no,
about...
No, I was asking, I know there are halachas like Rabbi Yehuda, we're wondering which version of Rabbi Yehuda is
there. So now we're saying between Rav and Rav Chanina, who is the halacha like? So I was starting to say that the in Shulchan Aruch it brings both opinions. It says that you, it brings the opinion of the Ram, it brings the opinion of the Rambam, which is in accordance with Rav, that even if she checks only on the first day, then that's good enough. It also brings the opinion of the Smag, who say who the Yesh as Yesh Omrim, that say that not.
Who's the Smag?
The Smag was one of the Rishonim, Rav Moshe Mikuzi. But they, yeah, from Kuzi in France, yeah. Whatever. Anyway, the point is, you have different opinions, and in fact, the Shulchan Aruch says that in Lahakol, you shouldn't be makel on that. So therefore, if she didn't check on if she didn't check on the first and the seventh day, then no good, and you have to start all over again. Says Shulchan Aruch in Lahakol. The Dogel Meravava, which is actually the Noda B'Yehuda, also wrote notes on the side of the Gemara called Dogel Meravava. He wants to say maybe the Smag would agree. Suppose that the checking was not only on the first day. Suppose it was, let's say, on the second or third or fourth day or whatever, and then not from then until the end. Maybe the Smag would say it's acceptable because he says the Smag mentions the idea that you can't possibly have 5 days in between B'dikas, implying so if it was less than five, maybe it would be okay. And now we're going to discuss the pros and cons of whether that's acceptable or not. Okay.
Calling
this Stands for Sefer Mitzvot Gadol.
Sure.
Mitzvot Gadol, because that's the name of his sefer, yeah. Okay. Onward. Omer of Sheshet, Omer of Yivya Ba'aba, Omer Rav. Nidah Sheifrisha B'Kara B'Shlishi Shalom. Let's go back now to the case of a Nidah. We said that a Nidah needs 7 days. She doesn't need clean days on a Daraisa level. She just needs that from when she started bleeding until she goes to the mikveh is not less than 7 days, and it has to be the bleeding stops sometime before the end of the day when she's going to go to the mikveh that night. So what we're saying is, we're starting to say, nidah sheifrisha b'kara b'shlishi shela, suppose that a nidah did a hefsek kara on the third day of her count, say fautil, meaning shiva nikim. She can count that day itself, that she did the hefsek kara, counts as one of the shiva nikim. What do you mean, nidah? Sfira lamala. A nidah doesn't need to count days at all. All a nidah needs, again, is that all a nidah requires is that from when the bleeding started until she goes to the mikveh is not less than 7 days, and that the bleeding stopped before sometime during the day before she goes to the mikveh that night. So we don't need her to count any clean days at all. What are you talking about? That she counted, and then we're saying whether it counts towards her days or not. So you're right. You have to fix up what Rav said. Not a nidah, but rather a zavah. A zava, who knows zava gdola, that is, who needs 7 clean days. So let's say, so we know that if she has bleeding 3 or more days in a row, she's a zava gdola. Suppose that on the third day itself, earlier that day there had been blood, later that day she does a hefsekara. So Rav is saying that day itself can count as the first of the shiva nikim. So in other words, she bled, let's say, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. What Rav is saying, at least so far as we have it, would be if she did the hefsekara on Tuesday and it came out okay, then Tuesday is the first of the 7 days. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, so she can go to the mikveh Monday night. However, Amale Rav Sheshes, Rav Yirmiya Ba'aba, so now Rav Sheshes said this in the name of Rav Yirmiya Ba'aba, but then he asks him, how could Rav have said that? Rav Kusori Amr the Shmaite. Did Rav say his teaching in accordance with how the Kusim do things? We learned in the fourth parak of Amos Esther that Midrabanan, the Kusim have a status, the women, the Kusi women have a status of Nidus, and the Kusi men have a status of boiling Nidus. And the Gemara mentioned one problem is because the Kusim have the opinion exactly what we just said, that the day when she stops bleeding, she counts as the first of her 7 clean days, which means, in other words, they go to the mikveh 1 day earlier than they're supposed to. And therefore, their husbands are considered boiling Nidus. What Rav is saying, what you're telling me, Rav said over here, comes out like the Kusim. Rav couldn't possibly have said that. The Amri, that they say exactly that. Yom Shepasek is supposed to start to the minyan Zion. The day on which she stops bleeding, she counts as the first of her 7 days. That's what Rav is saying. How could Rav be saying that? The answer is, Tika Omer Rav Levar Mishlishi. You're right. What Rav actually meant is, aside from the third day itself, in other words, she did the Hefsekara on the third day, on Tuesday, let's say, you're right, the next day, Wednesday, counts as the first of her Shiva Nikim. Okay, Bar Mishlishi, Pshita, well then that's Poshit. Then what's the Chiddush? The answer is, Loit Tzricha, yes, but the Chiddush that Rav is talking about is, she's going to like Bodka Ad Shvi. Suppose that She did the Heftikara on Tuesday, but remember, that's not the first of her 7 clean days yet, because the 7 clean days begin Wednesday. Let's say she did not then do a Bedikah all the way until the following week, Tuesday. So she didn't do it on the first day, unlike the cases in the Mishnah and the earlier case in the Gemara that we were talking about, that Rav and Rav Chanina are arguing about, where there she did the Bedikah on the first day, and we're talking about she did or didn't do it on the seventh day. Here it's the other way around. She didn't do it on the first day. She did do it on the seventh day. Vashmi in and Hossam, so therefore, so in the previous case, Rav wants to inform us, Trilos and Achvishen Sofam. That works, Rabbi Eliezer would say she's Tahor, even if she only did the Bedikah on the first day, but not the seventh, even if the next time she did a Bedikah was only after she went to the Mikveh. But Hachar, Kamashmuan, Sofam, Achvishen Trilosan. Here, Rav wants to tell us the other way around, that it also works, even if there was only a Bedikah at the end, not at the beginning. Once she did a Bedikah on the seventh day and found that it was clean, retroactively, we can consider that all the 6 previous days were Tara, given that she did a Heftik Tara on the third day. Because Rashi says, given that we had previously Mayan Pasurach, there was a Chazakah during those 3 days that there's wellspring is open and bleeding was happening, you can't say, if there wasn't a Heftik Tara on Tuesday, you can't say that you're going to assume the next 6 days are Tahor. The last status we know was that she was bleeding. So you need that Heftik Tara on Tuesday. But once you have that, then if she didn't do a Bedikah Wednesday morning, let's say, doesn't matter so much as Rav. So we can still assume that she's Tahor. So that's the Chiddush of what Rav wants to tell us. Not like we thought that he's going like a Kusim and saying that Tuesday counts as the first of the 7 clean days, but Tuesday counts that the Bedikah that was done then, the Heftikara, counts to make the rest of the days be 7 clean, valid clean days, even though she only did a Bedikah at the end.
I'm saying in effect the Bedikah counts, but not the...
But it doesn't count towards one of the 7 days, right?
Right. The count doesn't.
Right.
That's so
familiar. Right.
It starts at
that's the
end.
Point, right.
Right.
Yes. Okay. Okay. So that's what Rav is saying, and the point is so that's the thing. The Ma'ud Tema. Why do you need Rav to tell us? You would have thought like this. Chilos on Af Bishen Sofon Hudam Yunan. You know why you say if she did the Bedikah on the first day and not the seventh, we say that it counts because Duch Minach is Kai. Fine. We can assume she retains the same Chazaka as before. She did do a Bedikah on the first day of the 7 days. She didn't do a Bedikah the rest of the days. Fine. We can assume that the rest of the days were Tahor. But you would think if there was only a Bedikah at the end of the seventh day, and there wasn't at the end of the seventh day, and there wasn't a Bedikah on any of the previous 6 days, you would think, loy, maybe not, maybe we wouldn't say that it should count. Kamash Malon, and that is why Rav wants to tell us that it does actually, it counts as days. In other words, all those 7 days count. Even because,
the next day.
Well, yeah, obviously, so we said, it doesn't count towards the number of days, but it does count, yeah.
And that's the halacha?
Well, if we, again, that depends whether we said halacha is like Rav or like Rav Chanina before. But, yeah, okay. Fine, but that's what Rav wants to tell us. Then. All right, so
if we say the halacha is like Rav,
then counts. Yeah. If we said halacha is like Rav Chanina, maybe not.
Well,
I mean,
majority of first team, what
is it? I don't know the majority. You have it in Shulchan Aruch, bring both opinions. Okay. Fine. So the Gemara says, Aini, is that so? Is that so? You're telling me that it doesn't matter. The question is on Rav. So Rav is saying, in effect, that for 7 days, we don't need, there doesn't have to be any counting and there doesn't have to be any Bedikah during. As long as there was at least one Bedikah, then we don't care that the rest of the days are not known. We don't know what happened during them. There was no Bedikah, no nothing. So are you telling me that that's so? But Hoki also Robin Omar, we had earlier in the Masechta, that when Robin came from Eretz Yisrael, he reported Mosiv Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina Toya. He said that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina had asked a question based on the case of Toya. So we have back on Daf Chavtes, we had a sugya where Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, yeah. No, is it the same as Rabbi Chanina? Is it the same as Rabbi Chanina who argued with Rab? Maybe not. I don't know. Anyway, we had a case over there where a woman was pregnant. Then we had a case where a woman was pregnant. Then she gave birth or miscarried or whatever, and she doesn't know what it was. So we said, Rabbi Yishuv and Levi said that whether it was an embryo or a fully formed baby, was it a boy or was it a girl? So Rabbi Yishuv and Levi had said over there that we consider that it probably was a regular baby, and therefore, because we go according to roiv women give birth to a fully formed baby. Therefore, she can bring a korban. Therefore, she has to bring a korban, and it would be eaten. In other words, it's considered a vav. We mentioned in that Gemara that Rabbi Yosef of Chanina challenged that on the basis of a braisa that talks about Toya, where you had a case over there of a woman who at some point miscarried or gave birth, and we don't know when it was, and we had a braisa over there describing that we have to have her count multiple overlapping counts, because she may have been a Zara, she may have been Yoleda Zachar, Yoleda Mekeva, Zava, and we have to have her Tovel a couple of dozen times. We had a Machlokes Hashama in the civil 35 or 95 times or whatever. But Robin says, but even though Rabbi Yosef Yochanina brought up that contradiction, I don't understand what the contradiction is. How does that braisa contradict Rabbi Yeshua and Levi? And one thing we have in that braisa, Vikaimalon, Agosavach says, Shavua Kama Da'atila Kamon. Now we had a case over there, we discussed over there that when this woman comes, this woman who we said miscarried at some point or gave birth at some point, and we don't know when it was, and we don't know what it was, we said that the first week after she comes to her, Shavua Kama Da'atila Kamon, the first week after she comes to ask a Shaila what to do, we only make her tovel every night of those days. We do not make her tovel during the days. Why? Because what we say is during that first week, she might have been a Yeledes Zachar. We had, by the way, we had a discussion in the Gemara over there. Not everybody agrees that she needs to do all those tevilas, because we said there is an opinion that we have said there's machlokes whether tevilah bismana mitzvah or not. When a woman or a man, for that matter, is obligated to tovel, is there a particular mitzvah to do the tevilah on the actual earliest possible opportunity that you can do it? Or do we say that no, if you anyway stop at tomei, then you might as well wait until the sopik is over. That's what tevilah bismana mitzvah or tevilah bismana lav. So we had in that long braisa that we brought over there with this whole scenario of 35 and 95 tevilas over there. So we said there that Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda had said she only needs one tevila at the end, because during the time up to that point she's anyway also to her husband because of the various overlapping spaces. But the Shama and the Tzilul disagreed with that and said that she needs multiple tevilas. We said one particular detail of it was during the first week. We say she might have been a Yeledes Zachar. A Yeledes, like a Nida, can only tovel at night, Zeres HaKosuv. A Zava and most other Tmeim are allowed to tovel by day or by night. A Nida and a Yeledes Dafka have to tovel by night. So that's the thing. In this case, we assume during that first week, the only possibility is that we assume that she gave birth to a Zohar. Therefore, any of the night during this first week might be the end of the seventh night since she gave birth to the Zohar. Therefore, we make her Tovel by the night. We don't make her Tovel during the days on the possibility that she might have been, that these days might have been the end of her Zoiv, because she might have been the Yoledes Zoiv, and these are the end of the Zoiv period. Why not? Because in order for them to be valid Yemei Sfira after Zoiv, it has to be that we know that she counted them and did B'dikas. And we don't, because she came now to us all of a sudden with a sudden. So the Kaimalon, we know in the Gemara over there, Shavua Kama Da'asila Kamon, during the first week when she comes to us with the Shaila, B'lo Levasa Mafilinama, we only make her Tovel during the night, during every night of the first week, B'yamama Le Mafilinama, we don't make her Tovel during the day, because even if she was a Zava, it doesn't matter, you can't Tovel until you have Shiva Nakiyim that were actually counted. So the question is on Rav. Rav is saying you don't need to. You, Rav, are telling us that you don't need you don't need the days to have been counted in our presence, meaning with our knowledge. According to Rav, it's enough that the 7 days existed, even though a bedikah was without being counted, even though a bedikah was only done at the beginning of them or at the end of them. So then, therefore, according to Rav, the imam nami nitzgalina. Shouldn't we have to tovel her during that first week, each of the daytime periods also? Dilma yoledes zachar b'zoiv, because she might have been a yoledes zachar b'zoiv, and therefore now comes the end of the Yemei Ziva, at the end of the Shiva Nakim, and she has to tovel. Well, Avdullah Furin, and we would consider that the 7 days have already passed. So the fact that we see you don't do that seems to contradict Rav. That says that you don't need Furin. Doesn't that therefore indicate that we require that the 7 clean days of Azava have to have been counted in our presence, meaning that we know that they were actually counted and bedikas were done? Not like Rav was saying that as long as one bedikah was done at the beginning or one bedikah was done at the end, then it's good enough. The Gemara answers, "Lav mi ukim na kira bakiva." Didn't we explain in that sugya that whole braisa is only according to Rabbi Akiva? Do amar be'in and sforim b'paneinu. Who says that we do? He said, like he said in our Mishnah, that you have to have sforim b'paneinu. You have to have that all the days you're going to count towards the Shiva Nakiyim have to have been counted in our presence with our knowledge. But we said Rabbi Eliezer disagrees with that. We said the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer. Fine, Rav is talking according to Rabbi Eliezer. So the braisa says no contradiction on that. Okay, by the way, this, by the way, that we're saying whether you need Sfurin B'Faneinu or not, the Chinuch makes an interesting point. We know, for example, the Torah tells us about Sfirat Ha'omer, and we actually have to verbally every day say, Hayom Yom Ech Ha'omer. When it comes to Shmitin and Yoglos also, you have the Sefarot of HaShevet Shabbos Astronomy, and there's a mitzvah that every year, based in, is supposed to declare this is X number of year of the Yoglos cycle. Why, by a woman who's counting the 7 clean days for Zava, do we not make her count them verbally?
It says,
V'safra Allah, she should count for herself. So why don't we require? So the Chinuch says, look, that's how Torah Shabbat pays. When we're told that we have to count explicitly, then yes, when not, then not. Here, there's nothing that says that she has to actually count them explicitly. Therefore, she doesn't. With that said, the Shalach Kaddish says that maybe it would be good for her to verbally say every day, today is the first of the clean days, today is the second of the clean days. And
that does mean verbally.
The Bashtas, it should mean verbally the same way as the Sfartan Lachai means verbally. But the fact is, that's how Torah Shabbat is, that tells us by Spirit Salim, but it doesn't tell us by Nidara. There's some place also where I think Tosfos mentions another point also. If we say that, suppose we were to say that she should be counting the days, why wouldn't she make a bracha on the counting? Or even if not, why doesn't she make a bracha in general on the fact that, you know, and the answer is, Tosfos says, because after all, there's a possibility that the count may be interrupted and have to start all over.
Yeah.
Therefore, you can't make a bracha on it because, yeah.
You're going to make a bracha.
Yeah. Actually, maybe, yeah. Maybe when Beis Din counts, this year is the 37th of the Yovel. Maybe they have to make a bracha. Same way as we say bracha, the Asher Kedushanim with Tzvetz V'Tzvon Al Sfer HaFaymer. Maybe they do. Maybe they say bracha, Asher Kedushanim with Tzvetz V'Tzvon Al Sfer HaShanim.
By women,
since it could be interrupted and not. Then she has to start all over. Okay, so the Gemara says, "We're not tamed to the Rabbanan loybrin and sfurim lepanenu." Okay, so where do we see that the Rabbanan say that the seven days of Ziva don't necessarily have to be counted in front of us? So it's not. It's a Tanya, really. It's a Braisa. Toya sha'omra yom echad tamir isi. We have a case like this. Suppose a woman comes. She's a toya. She doesn't know where she is in her cycle, whether she's in the Yemei Nidah or the Yemei Ziva, and she comes with a shaila. I had bleeding for one day, or sometime during the day. And I don't know whether I was a Nidah or a Zava. So the din is, Matvilan Oita test Tvilas. The din is, says the Braisa, again, this is following the opinion, that Tvila Bismana Mitzvah, we make her Tovah 9 times. Zayim the Nidah Utrei Laziva. 7 times in case she was a Nidah, because what we do is, in other words, let's say she came with the Shaila during the day, so that night might be the seventh day of her Yemei Nidah, therefore she travels that night. It might have also been the 6th day of her Yemei Nidah, therefore she travels the next night, and so forth. So she travels seven times like that.
Then when it comes to Ziva,
on the day when she comes, she has to toivel during the day, because maybe the Re'iyah was yesterday and now she's a Shemeritian and Keneged Yom. Today is supposed to be her one Yemei, is supposed to be her one Tahor day. What? Yeah. That, not that it doesn't have to be, but it can't. Zava is allowed to toivel during the day, and if we say Tzvila Bizmana Mitzvah, then she has to toivel as soon as possible. She can't wait for that night. And then she has to also tovel. She also has to tovel the next day, because maybe on the day when she came was the day when the flow was, and the next day is going to be, it's supposed to be the Yom Tov. So therefore, so she winds up having to tovel 9 times. So once during the day when she came to us, once that night, another one during the day on the next day, another one the following night, and then 5 more on the subsequent night. Then Beinah Shmoshes. What if she comes with the shaila to us? What if she says Beinah Shmoshes Tomer Isi? What if she comes with the shaila that the flow that I had was Beina Shmoshes, but I'm not sure which day it was. Well, then you have extra days that you need to be concerned about. Matbila knows the Yud Aleph Tevilas, then we have to make a Tovil 11 times. Now, the Gemara says, what do you mean? Yud Aleph Maya Vititayu. Why would you have to Tovil 11? If you have a Sofik of an extra day, then 10 instead of 9, but why 11? The answer is Omer of Yumi Medish, she's going to Bosokonen of Beina Shmoshes. The answer is, let's say that not only she said the Re'iyah was Beina Shmoshes, but when she came to ask, the Shaila was also Beina Shmoshes. So therefore, we have Bahamian Tsmani with Nidah plus Laziva. So therefore, we have to make her Tovel 8 times because of Nidah and 3 times because of Ziva. Because we have the suffix of the extra day, because of Beina Shmoshes, right? Therefore, we wind up where there. So she comes, let's say Rashi says, let's say she came Beina Shmoshes of Erev Shabbos. She has to Tovel right away that night, Friday night, because that might be her time for Toveling. The entire following week the same way. She also has to Tovel next week, Friday night, because what if the Re'iyah was, the first Re'iyah was Beina Shmoshes, and it might have been night already, and therefore the first of the 7 days is Shabbos rather than Friday, and the second one is Sunday, and so forth, and then the seventh one comes out Friday. So therefore she winds up 8 times for Nidah and 3 times for Ziva in the same way. See, that's how you come out with 11. Because again, it might be day, and then she could Tovel for Ziva, but it might not, and then yeah. Then continues the Braisa. Then the Braisa continues. Loira isi kol iker. If the woman comes and says, I have a Shaila, that I didn't have a Re'iyah at all. So then, makbilonoisa tes vav tvilas, then we make her Tovel 15 times. So what does that mean? Amar Rava. Hai dinah, deloy dinah, that kind of din, that kind of judgment that has no logical basis for the din, daini v'galchi. That's the kind of thing where they rule like that in Galchi, the name of a place. Because we have an example, actually the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which it references on the side over here, brings this in connection with Sedoim. So in fact, the number of the Oruch brings, and a couple of other Mephoshim bring, that Galchi may be the name of a town in the Sedoim area. In other words, we know there was the 5 famous cities of Sedoim that I mentioned in the positive. Sedoim, Amorah, Ad, Metzoyim, and Bela, but or Tzoya, or whatever. But over here, it could be that there was another little village over there called Galchi. Anyway, that's kind of illogical, anti-logical thing. That's the kind of thing they do there. For example, they had a rule over there. The Isle Torah, anybody who owns an ox, Lire Chadiyomer, he's responsible for 1 day out of every month or year or whatever it is of pasturing everybody else's cattle together with his. Which, fine, okay, you know, he's pasturing his own anyway. It's not that much of a hardship to take care of a bunch of others as well. So fine, that part's not so bad. But the left leg Torah, but then the unfair and illogical part was they said anybody who doesn't own an ox, literally today, I mean, he has to take care of everybody's oxen for 2 days. So therefore, Rava's saying, so what's the logic? She comes in that didn't have a Re'iyah. You're making her Torah more times than she said if she did have a Re'iyah. And in fact, the Gemara tells an example. Istrimilahu Yasma Bar Almalta. It happened once that a certain Yosem, who was the son of an Almana, visited this place, Galpa. Again, the Gemara tells it there about Sedoim. Yavi Le Torah. So they told him, here's the rules. You don't have an ox of your own, because of course, you sell them usually are poor. Therefore, you have to pass through everybody's for 2 days. So what he being a smart guy, also Michsinhu, he went and shechted all the oxen that were under his care, and then he tells them, Omalahu, and he tells them, here's the rules. The Islay Torah, anybody who owned one of these oxen, Lishko Chadmashcha, he can come and take one skin from these oxen and use it for leather or whatever. The Leslay Torah, and anybody who up until now did not own an ox, Lishko Tremashki, he can take 2 of the skins. Omri lane my height. They said to him, what kind of nonsense is that? My height comment, what's this that you're saying? Omalahu, he says to them, Soif dinner ketchilas dinner. The end of the case is like the beginning of the case. Ketchilas dinner, lav man belesle odif. At the beginning you were saying that anybody who doesn't have oxen has a bigger responsibility. He has to take care of the oxen for 2 days. Soif dinner, the same thing at the end of the judgment. Man belesle odif. Whoever didn't have comes out ahead at the end. They shifted them all in, yeah. In other words, so he paid them back in their own coin, in other words. The point being, in other words, yeah. So the ones who didn't have anything are coming out, you know, getting twice as much. Right? Anyway, the point is, Hochanami, so the same thing. Robert says, what kind of an illogical thing are you saying? If she had come and said, I had a Re'iyah, and I'm just not sure when, you have 9 tvilas, maximum you have is 11. She says, I didn't have a Re'iyah at all. What's the logic? You should require a total 15 times. Ela Eima Hachi. Rather, we have to accept the Braisa and explain it as follows.
So we accept his reasoning.
What we say is the Braisa, instead of telling us like this, not she says, I didn't have a Re'iyah. Re'isi ve'eni yadea kama Re'isi. I had a Re'iyah, but I'm not sure how long it was. It might have been one day, it might have been 3 days in succession. And Ibi me nida Re'isi, Ibi me ziva Re'isi. On top of that, she's not sure whether it was during the 7 Yimei nida or during the 11 Yimei ziva. Then, Makbilon Oisa Tetzvav Tvilas. Then we have to make her toivel 15 times. What are the 15? It's 10. Asoi tamon v'yimama. If she came, that's what we're going to figure out. If she came to us during the day with the shayla, then yahavin in law, then we give her as follows. You have to toivel shave l'nida 7 times in case she was a nida, meaning shaving 7. 7. Means it's Aramaic for 7. Shave l'nida. So we tell her, let's say, for example, Rashi says she came with the Shaila on Shabbos. So she totals the first time Motza Shabbos because it might be that the first Re'iyah was on Sunday, and therefore the 7 days ended on Shabbos, and Motza Shabbos she totals. She also then needs to total Sunday night in case the Re'iyah was on Monday, and so on and so forth. So she winds up with 7 times for Nida, Utvatamni Laziva, and then she needs to total 8 times on account of the possibilities of Ziva. Tamni is 8, yeah. Because, again, let's say on the Shabbos itself, when she came with the Shaila, we make her Tovel, because what if she had 3 days in a row of Ziva, which makes her a Zav of Dola. Today, let's say, may have been the 7th day of the Shiva Nakiyim, because let's say the 3 days in a row were Thursday, Friday, Shabbos of the previous week. Now we have, from Sunday through Shabbos, the 7 clean days. Therefore, she has to Tovel that day on Shabbos. And the same thing the next day, because it might have been the next day, and so forth. The reason why eight days is because, again, you have the possibilities that aside from the possibilities that she might have been a Zavak Dola, there's also the possibility she might have been a Zavak Tana and only needs one clean day. So you don't know. For example, it might have been, let's say, that...
It's the same thing, almost.
Well, no. Well, what we're saying is, she might have had the one... She might have had the one day on Shabbos itself. That makes her Tomei as a Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom, and therefore she needs Sunday. She needs a Tevilah during the day. Asoi Kamon V'Loi Levosa. If, on the other hand, she came to us at night, then it's the other way around. Yavin lo tamni l'nida v'shev l'ziva. Then it's the other way around. She needs to tovel 8 times on the grounds of possibilities of nida, and 7 times on the possibilities of the grounds of ziva. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean? Only 7 times for nida? Ziva tamni v'ya. Regardless whether she came with the shayla by day or by night, either way she should need 8 for ziva. Because when you consider all the different possibilities of when the bleeding might have been, whether it was 1 day or 2 days or 3 days, then you wind up with 8 different possibilities of when she'd have to tovel. Is it, you know, that night and the following night and the night after that, et cetera, 8 times. So you're right. Ella Idi va Idi Shave Lanida Vatamni Laziva. You're right, actually. In both cases, it's not like we said at first, it depends, it might be 8. 7 or 8 during the night for Nida, and 7 or 8 during the day for Ziva, as the case may be. No, what it is rather, I divide Shev L'Nida V'Tamni L'Ziva. Either way, she needs to total 7 times for the possibilities of Nida. She has to total 8 times for the possibilities of Ziva. Because when you consider the different possibilities, she came, let's say Rashi gives the example, she came on Shabbos. So it might be that she was a Zavak Dola where the Ziva ended the previous week Shabbos, and therefore you have Sunday through Shabbos as the 7 clean days. She also needs to, so she needs to travel Shabbos day. She needs to travel Sunday day because the 3 days may have been Friday, Shabbos, Sunday the previous week, and so forth. You keep on going like that until you get to the point. The 3 days might have been Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, from when she came to us. Then she needs Shiva Nakiyim from Sunday through Shabbos, and then she totals during the day the following Shabbos. So she's totaling this day Shabbos in case it was the 7th day of her clean days from the previous week, and also the following Shabbos in case it's the 7th day of her clean days from this week.
The 3 days they're referring to?
3 days of bleeding.
Of bleeding.
Yeah. So therefore, in all cases, she has to total 8, she has to total 7 times at night in case she was a nida, and 8 times during the day in case she was a zava. So the Gemara asks, If she came with the shayla at night, shouldn't we require that there's 8 times for nida? Because then you have the possibilities again. Tonight might be her mitzvah night, or tomorrow night, etc. Up to the point where when she came with the shayla, let's say Friday night, it might be that the bleeding was actually still going on then. In which case, Shabbos is still. In which case, then the first she can tell you will be Musa Shabbos. So you wind up again with 8 times. The answer is ziva de psikole, because the reason why the Braisa is not mentioning that, the reason why the Braisa is not mentioning the possibility that there might have to be 8 for nida is like this ziva de psikole, when it comes to ziva, where it's an established thing, it's a blanket statement, we can say, de loishnok yasoi kamon biyamom or loishnok yasoi kamon valeria. It doesn't matter whether she came with the shayla by day or by night. Either way, she needs to tovel no more, no less than 8 times for ziva, when you consider all the possible permutations. So therefore, choshev law, so therefore it mentions 8 as a blanket statement. Nida, the lepsikalei, on the other hand, when it comes to a nida, it's not necessarily a given, because it depends whether she came by day or by night. If she were to come during the night with the shayla, boy tamni, then we would have to make her tovel 8 times, once tonight and once the following night and so forth, until the same time this night next week. Because, again, it might be that the bleeding was still going on tonight, and then she can't tovel until the following night.
And so forth,
right? So therefore, so if she comes by night, then you need a day. But your mama like a boy tamni, on the other hand, if she comes with a shayla during the day, she doesn't need to tovel 8 times for nida, because even if the bleeding took place during the day, as long as it stops before shkia, then that night she can already tovel. So therefore, we don't mention the possibility that there might be cases where she has to tovel 16 times, 8 for nida and 8 for ziva, because it's not necessarily a given. The Braisa wants to mention 15, because there's never going to be a time when she has to do less than 15. But there could be a time when she has to do more. There could be a time when she has to do a 16th one, namely if she came with the shayla.
7 for sure.
So she needs 7 for sure for nida, 8 for sure for ziva, and depending whether it was by day or by night, she may need an 8 for one for nida. Anyway, that's the bottom line. So that's the bottom line. We understand the braisa now. But now the question becomes: We were out to prove how we know that the chachamim say that you don't need sfurin b'fonenu. We don't care whether the 7 days were counted in our presence, whether we know that she did b'dikas during them or not. So now we're going to prove that. If you're going to tell me that the shiva nekiyim of a zava have to be counted in our presence, kol hani tevilas lamali, then why would she need that many tevilas? After all, we can't say, for example, when it comes to zava, she should be toveling during the day because today might be the 7th day of her count. If she wasn't around in front of us when she did that count, it shouldn't count according to that way of looking at it, according to Rabbi Akiva's way, which we said before. So then she wouldn't have to toil that many times.
When you say she should do a count in front of us.
Meaning, in other words, so let's say she came with the shayla, to continue Rashi's example. Let's say she came with the shayla during the day on Shabbos. Mm-hmm. So we would tell her, okay, well, today you might have bled earlier today and you don't realize, so we can't count today as your first clean day. So fine, we're going to start your clean days tomorrow, Sunday. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, and you'll go to the mikvah one time on Shabbos. There'll be no reason to make her tovel today and also tomorrow and also the next day and whatever. If you said you need sfurin b'fanenu, if you said that the count has to be done with us being aware of it, like Rabbi Akiva. And so the kol hani tevilas lamali. Why would she need all those tevilas? Tisper zayin v'hadr titkel. She should be able to count 7 days with us supervising v'hadr titkel, and only then she'll tovel. El alav shmamina. Doesn't that prove Rabbanan he? That they are bright, so must be according to the Rabbanan, Damin and Leiber in Sfurin Lefanenu, that they say you don't require Sfurin Lefanenu, and namely either of Eliezer or of Yeshua of our Mishnah. And therefore, so that would prove that they actually hold that you don't need that. Rabbi Eliezer would say that all 7 days count, even though she only counts at the beginning and end of them. Rabbi Yeshua had said only the beginning and end days count, the days in between we ignore. But still, the point is both of them hold we don't need to support in the Fanenu. Omele Rav Acha Breder of Yosef for Rav Ashi. However, Rav Acha Breder of Yosef says to Rav Ashi, that's not necessarily a solid proof from this Braisa that we don't need Tzfur in the Chonenu. Lav Torutzi Kamatzer and Sinanah. Look, anyway we had to change the wording of the Braisa in order to make it fit, because we had Rava's problem before that how can the Braisa be saying if she said, I had no Re'iyah, you make the Torah 15 times, that would be acting like the people of Galfi. So we anyway had to fix up the wording of the Braisa. Therefore, once we have to fix it up, then here's another possible reconstruction of what the Braisa meant to say. Suppose, not that she says I had a Re'iyah. Trit means to answer, means to reconcile, right? So maybe instead of reinterpreting the Braisa, which says Loi Re'isi, to mean Re'isi, but I don't know how many days, instead maybe we interpret it differently. Trit Ve'emahochi. Explain it rather like this. Suppose she says Safauti Ve'enyadeh Kama Safauti. Suppose she says I counted some of the Shivanakiyim, or all of them, but I don't know how many, the Enyadah Kama Safauti, I don't know how many I counted. And also she says, I don't know, Imime Nida Safauti, the Imime Ziva Safauti, I don't know whether they were doing the Imime Nida or doing the Imime Ziva. Then, Matbilan Oysa Tesvav Trilas. Then we make her Tovel 15 times, because then you have the various possibilities of when the count might have ended.
She doesn't know, really.
She doesn't know how many days, right. Safauti, the Enyadah Kama Safauti. So what is it in other words? When she says, I counted, but I don't know how many days I counted. Actually, this is a question. So in other words, maybe the Braisa is actually saying, when she said that I did a counting, I'm not sure how many days, then we can continue the count now after she's in our presence. Because we know that, and then all of them are Sforim. So maybe the Braisa doesn't necessarily mean that they can all be not Sforim. Maybe after all, it does need to be Sforim. Okay, so I asked, in that case, Safauti, the Enyadah, Kama Safauti, okay, but if she says I counted days, and I don't know how many days, Chad Yom Amir, Yepshevelei Sofra, then it means she had to have counted at least one day. Chosro La Tevila, once we say that, then we're subtracting a Tevila, because now we don't have to have, for example, in the case of Zava, that she should have to Tevila for 8 days in succession, because since she counted at least one day, so that reduces one day that she needs to Tevila.
Meaning she needs to
total. Then she would only need to be seven days. And if she says, I know I counted 2 days, then she only needs to total 6 times. So. Ella Ema, you're right. We have to change the wording of the Braisa and say, I don't know whether I counted or not. So even the first day she totals, because maybe she actually did count those 7 days, but then she needs to keep on totaling each of the following days, because maybe she didn't count, because she herself is not true. But no proof necessarily from this Braisa that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua against Rabbi Akiva would agree that you don't need the days to be counted at all. Maybe they do agree that the days need to be counted, and we're just saying that the case of the Braisa is where she's saying, for example, I don't know whether I counted or not. So no proof one way or the other. However, again, we said before we had the machlok. We said the halacha is like Rabbi Yezer before. We had the machlok of Rav and Rav Chanina. What happens if she didn't count? We know that if she counted the first and the seventh days, then they definitely count, even though she didn't count the days in between. We know if it was the first and the eighth, then we had the machlok of Rav and Rav Chanina. And again, you have the machlok of showing him who the halacha is like. Okay. Mishnah says. Most of this Mishnah, the first three lines of this Mishnah, are not really directly related to Masechet Nida, but since we mentioned in the previous Mishnah dinim about the Zav and the Zava, so now we're going to mention another din about their Tumah. If any of these five die, and all of them have this in common, is that they're all able to be metame things that they sit on or lean on or whatever. And also, we're going to see in the Gemara that they all have a concept called Evan Mesoma, which we'll get to in a second. So Shemesu, any of these five, if they die, metamin b'masa, then their bodies are metame a person who carries them. Says, what do you mean? Anybody. That's what I was going to ask that. Ad she yimoy kabosar, until the flesh starts decaying. Another din. Oivid kechavim shemes. Hold on. Oivid kechavim shemes. Another din is if a goy dies, and we learned earlier in the Masechta that goy and midaraisa are considered zavim. Tohar milatame, then he's tohar in the sense that so even though when he's alive, he's considered like a zav. When he's dead, then he's not metame with the tumor of a zav anymore, as we'll see in the Gemara.
What does he mean? Something with nothing?
The trauma of a regular dead body. The trauma of Smith. You have, by the way, Machlokas that goes back to Machlokas in the Gemara, whether a goy is Matami Ba'oil. You have Rav Shimon who says that not, and you have the other Chacham who say that yes. And you have a Machlokas who's showing him who the Allah is like. But Mago Humasa, though, a goy's body is Matami just like a Jew's. Yeah. Okay. Continues.
Mago
Humasa. Oil is Machlokas. Okay, continues the Mishnah. Beit Shammai Omen Kolam Noshim Meses Nidus. Beit Shammai say that all women, when they die, are considered to have the status of a nidah.
Even if they're old.
Well, it doesn't matter, in other words. But yeah, the point, well, even if they're old.
No, the old.
Right. But the point being, in other words, that obviously any kalim that are touching them or in the same oil with them after they die are Shammai. But the point is, Beit Shammai is saying that even, let's say, kalim that we use, that let's say, for example, blankets that we use to cover her, let's say, before she died, are still matami.
Even if we don't know.
Kol nashim, yeah.
So even every women?
Yeah, the pastors. We'll get to later in the Gemara and I find out for sure. Or Basil and Nida El Shamesa Nida. Basil says no, only if she died in a status of Nida, then as we said at the beginning of the mission, and then she continues to have the Trumas Nida, but not otherwise. So the Gemara asks my Bamasa, when we say that the body of the Zavar, etc., is Matame Bamasa after they died, what do you mean? My Bamasa. What do you mean by Matame Bamasa? Elema Bamasa Mamish, do you mean literally that if you carry the body, then you become Tomei? Also called mess milo matame b'masa. Any mess that's true of any mess you carry, even if you don't touch it directly, like you carry it in a box or whatever, then you're also material, also tame. Ella my b'masa. So rather, what does the Mishnah mean when it says b'masa? Means be'eben mesoma. It means when there's an eben mesoma involved. What is an eben mesoma? Well, first let's explain the word, where we get the word mesoma from. Dichtiv, you have a pasuk in Daniel. You have the story over there where Daniel is thrown into the lion's den. And the pasuk says, "Vehisoyis Evan Chada." They brought one stone, a large stone, the sumas al pum gubar, and they placed it on the opening to the pit where the lions were. The point being, in other words, that this way, the pasuk describes over there that the Dayavish only reluctantly agreed to have Daniel thrown into the lion's den. His ministers kind of forced him into it, but he wanted to make sure, at least, okay, Daniel's in the lion's den, fine, that's up to Hashem to save him. I want to make sure at least they don't try to harm him. So he put a heavy stone over there, and the pasuk says he sealed it with his stamp and their stamps and whatever this way. There's a whole story over there of Daniel that they were jealous of Daniel, so they convinced Dayavish to come up with a law that for the next 30 days anybody who has a petition should make it only to the king, not to any god or not to anybody else or whatever. And Daniel obviously ignored that and continued davening, so they caught him and then the king was reluctant to punish him because he was trying to argue that the law wasn't meant to cover davening. And the ministers who got the whole thing rolling in the first place, they managed to they tell Dayavish, listen, you know, the law is the law, you gotta observe it. Anyway, so he has him put him in the lion's den, but he puts a heavy stone over there to make sure, like, they don't go in themselves and harm Daniel. In fact, Mephoshim, by the way, say an interesting point on that. You find a concept that Hashem is more willing to interfere, so to speak, with Teva to make a nest for a person and less willing to interfere where it would involve interfering with somebody's Bechira Chavshim. Says, for example, in connection with Yosef a couple of weeks ago, where it says, you know, the brothers put him into a pit which was full of snakes and scorpions. So why? I mean, in great danger over there also. So one answer is because that Hashem should prevent the snakes and the scorpions from biting him. That's a nest, but it's a minor nest. That Hashem should prevent the brothers who have the Bechira Chavshis from harming him. That's the kind of nest that Hashem much more rarely does. So therefore, like Reuven figured, in a certain sense, Yosef is safer with the snakes and scorpions. So similarly over here, Dayavish figured that Daniel was safer with the lions than he is if the ministers can get involved over there. Anyway, the point is that there it uses the
stone.
So therefore he put the stone. The point is that he used the word basumas, it was placed. So an Evan Masama is a heavy stone which is placed in place and not generally moved. Now, so let's say, for example, if you have, for example, a mess. You have a mess lying on top of an Evan Masama, one of these very heavy stones. Then let's say you have Kalim under the stone. Nothing happens to them, they don't become Tomei. But when it comes to a Zav and Zava, etc., then you have the concept of Evan Masama, that even if what they're sitting on or lying on, whatever, is a very heavy rock like that, nevertheless, whatever is under that rock is going to be Tomei. If the Zav or whatever was sitting on top of it. So that's what we're talking about. So we're saying, in other words, that when our Mishnah is talking about like this, so you have a Zav, etc., if while they were alive, they're sitting on top of an Evan Masama, then everything below that rock is going to be tumbled. Therefore, what we're saying is, even if their body was placed on that Evan Masama only after they died, it's still, midrabbanan, the things under that rock are going to be tumbled. Ad shayimei kabaser, until the flesh starts decaying. Now, why is that? My time, or what's the reason for that zera? Amarav zera shami yis alpha. It's a zera because he may have fainted, and therefore people think that he's dead. So like this, if you allow, in the case of a Zog who died, and you're going to say anything that's under the Evan Masama becomes Tahar, it remains Tahar, people are going to mistakenly think that you're going to have a case where they put his body over there, thinking he's dead, and really he's only fainted, and therefore they're going to think, they're going to end up being Matahar, these things. Yeah, so therefore people are going to think that it's Tahar because they're going to think that he was dead when in fact he was not. Once the flesh starts decaying, obviously he's not fainted anymore, obviously he's dead, therefore we have no reason for the Xena. We learn in a braisa that they said in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, a mishum Rabbi Eliezer omru, they said in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, it's not just good enough that the flesh starts decaying, actually you boka kresa. It has to be that his stomach splits open, which is a bit more of an advanced stage of decay.
It's worse than decay?
It's worse, yeah. So, you know, the body starts decaying, and eventually what happens is gases build up in the stomach, and eventually it bursts open. At that point, for sure, the person is dead. Then at that point, then they're like an ordinary mess.
I mean, the person is laying there for a week. The person is not eating. Is automatically dead.
Maybe, but not necessarily. It could be that they're in a deep faint. In fact, actually, the Chassam Sofer, the Aruch HaNer, talk about what about, for example, we have the Chassam Sofer talks about what about we have a halacha when it comes to the dinim of pikuach nefesh. You have a person buried under a pile of stones, for example. You check until you get to their nose. You see if they're breathing or not. And if they're not breathing, then you can't be machal Shabbos for them anymore. And if not, then you continue to be machal Shabbos for pikuach nefesh. So why would you normally just check if the guy's breathing? Basically, the Chassam Sofer answers there's a difference between the person who's actually working with the person, like trying to dig them out, or like a nurse who's taking care of them or whatever, who will know to look for very shallow breathing like that, versus the average person may not realize that distinction. But therefore, like there might be a very faint breath, and an ordinary person who's not trained is not going to realize it. The Aruch HaNer says something similar. The Aruch HaNer asks the question, why don't we make the same gzera that when a person dies in general? Maybe we should say we shouldn't bury him right away, wait till they start decaying, because maybe they only fainted. And he says a somewhat similar thing. It's one thing when a person has died, the Chevra Kadisha, whoever is involved with burying him and being Matahar him or whatever, they'll be able to tell whether he's actually dead or not. Their experience, they'll be able to tell. But here we're talking about just the average person. You might even have a person who's standing at a distance, let's say, and has no way of knowing if he's breathing or not. So therefore, two more lines. We said in the Mishnah, we said if a goy dies and we said he's not tahor, he's not matame as a zob anymore, even though live goy have din of a zob. Tanya Omer Rebbe, nickname Ma Omer Oibit Kachav Shemes Torah Melatame B'Masa. Why did the Chachamim say that when a goy dies and he's not matame B'Masa? Again, meaning this Evan Masama business. Because anyway, even while he's alive, he's not metame midaraisa, only dirabanan. So even the whole concept that if there was something under an Evan Masama under him would be tame, it would only be dirabanan. Therefore, as soon as he dies, then we take that away, because it would be a xera for a xera, basically. So we don't require, in the case of a goy, that the body starts decaying in order to be metahar the kalim that are under the Evan Masama.
As opposed to
with a Jew, then we say, because their trauma with Evan Masama is daraisa, therefore, we have to be gozer that because they might have fainted and we might mistake it for death, then therefore we're still matame, the kalim that are under the Evan Masama until the body starts.
Why employ matame?
But the fact is, well, one, we talked about this earlier in the Masech, actually. We said one idea is where you have a greater possibility for Kedusha, then you have a greater possibility for Tumah, because Zelo Masel is the king. A Jew whose body is, who is Kodesh anyway, and who's in the Shomer, Shelech Elikani Ma'al Mamash, and has the ability to reach high levels of Kedusha and Tara, therefore, the opposite is also true. He's able to become Tumah. A Goy is anyway not able to reach those levels of Kedusha and Tara, and his Shomer is anyway from Sholosh Klippas at Meir, so Klippas Nergo or whatever. So therefore, when they're nice, he's not able to be the Tumah.
Okay. Has a greater level of
touche,
much more.
There, la umas, there, also the king. Hashem made things exactly balanced so that where there's a greater possibility for Kedusha, then there's a greater possibility for Tumah.
There,
la umas, there, also the king. Also, the name Kehelas. Okay.